Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life.
Well, if you, again, have never been to our church before, we are excited that you're here. You're in for a treat today. All the men are going to be excited today. Amen. I mean, men, we're talking about sex today. Can I get an amen from the men? Amen. That was terrible. You need to get some, you know, whatever behind it. You know what I'm saying? Well, my wife is actually going to be speaking with me today. So you guys give it up for my wife, Heather. Oh, yeah. Turn that bad boy up. That's what I'm talking about. This is in honor of my wife. There you go.
Let's love, baby.
Uh-huh. I'm going to... Okay, none of that. All right.
Let's get it on.
Let's not think those thoughts just yet, okay? Well, we are excited today. If you ever wondered about church and sex, you're in the right place. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to start a series called Going All the Way. Some of you guys are like, what's that? You know, well, we're going to talk about two things, okay? Here's the purpose of this series. And again, we're excited about it. We're going to explain why we're doing it here in just a second. But here's the purpose. There's two things. Here's what we want to show you through this series and through the next 3 or 4 weeks. First of all, we want to show the benefits of not going all the way until you're married. Okay? That's number one. We want to show the benefits of not going all the way sexually until you're married. Number two, we want to hopefully equip your marriage to go all the way until you die or until the Lord comes back. Can I get an amen on that? That's a good thing. Yeah. Well, that was weak clapping. That was really weak. That was weak. Some of you guys are too bashful. You're already blushing. I mean, we turn the red lights back on so nobody notices. No, I'm just kidding that we're blushing. I'm playing. Don't worry about it. Well, here's the thing. You say, well, why do we teach on sex? I mean, why do we teach on dating? Why do we teach on marriage and relationships? Here's a few things that I want to show you as a pastor. Here's the thing. We want to teach on this so that we can have the tools. We can equip people to have healthy relationships. The world is selling a lie, and we want to expose the lie, and we want to give you the truth. We want to show Christians and non-Christians that they can be equipped to fulfill God's perfect plan in dating, marriage, and sex. That's what we want to do. So we want to make it so that teens and younger kids will have a positive outlook about sex and relationships. And so that's why we do it. But here's the ultimate reason why we're doing it. I believe that the teaching on sex, dating, and relationship pleases the Lord. And I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to please the world. I'm here to please the Lord. And so if I teach on something that God is pleased by, then that's what I'm going to do. If you haven't read the Bible lately, the Bible has a lot to say about sex, relationships, and marriage. If you want to blush, read Song of Solomon, because it will make you blush. And you'll be thinking, what? This is the Bible? When you read that, yes, you will. It is awesome. And so that's the reasons why we are talking about sex, dating, and marriage. Obviously, it's February, it's Love Month, or, you know, Valentine's Day, I often call it Single Awareness Day. I mean, some of you guys that are single, I was single for so long, and I hated that joke, and so I just have to return the favor. But here's the thing, we are not going to teach you today about sex, dating, and marriage to condemn you. We are going to teach you today a better way to have sex and date and be married, okay? It's not to condemn you. Some people walk in and they think, crap, I've had sex with 17 different people and I've had 4 marriages and all that stuff. Listen, we're not here to condemn you. We're not here to point the finger. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And so here's the thing that I want you to focus in on. As we talk about this, we're not talking about it in a way that brings up a past that we want you to dwell on. We're talking about it in a way that hopefully the future can be brighter. Do you see the difference? I mean, again, so many people want to dwell in on their past. I screwed that up. I messed that up. I got this. I did that. And they want to focus in on the past. And maybe you need to deal with the past. And you need to get right. You need to ask for some forgiveness. But the idea of this whole series is so that we can focus in on the future. So don't whine. Don't gripe. Don't get weary about your past. Listen, you can move forward, and we are going to show you how that you can move forward. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. I want to give you some something else. Here's a side note. If you need professional help, if you need help as far as counseling goes for your marriage, I offer some of that, but also we have a professional counselor, 2 or 3 of them in our church, and we would love to even help you pay for that. We would love to help you, you know, find some help in that. And so if you think that getting counseling, professional counseling is for pansies, it's not. It's for people that want to go all the way in their marriage. And so don't feel bad about it. Ask for help, and we can provide that help. In this series, you're going to hear Heather and I talk about our successes. You're going to hear us talk about our failures. And hopefully, you can learn from both. We're still young in our marriage. I know some of you older people are going, you're just a bunch of whippersnappers. What the heck do you know about marriage? I know. You can shake your head. Well, here's the thing. I have a beautiful wife. And we have sex, so I know a little bit about that. We've got 3 kids to prove it. I have parents that have been married for over 40 years, praise the Lord, and I have great parents, yeah. My wife has parents that have been married over almost 40 years, still married. My major in college was family development. Family psychology. It wasn't Bible. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was family development. And again, you say, well, what resource do you have to teach on this? I mean, you're young. You're all that. What's the resource that you're going to use to teach on sex, dating, and marriage? And all I got to do is hold up my trump card. Boom. And some of you guys go, well, that's out of date. Well, I'm going to show you differently because this still applies to us every day of our lives. And so you think, well, again, you don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I don't, but he does. And so, again, and here's some resources. I want to give you some resources. Some of you parents are looking for good books. Some of you men are looking for good books for your wife. Some of you women are looking for good books for your husband. And so I want to give you some resources. A couple books that I would encourage you to read. It's called Real Marriage by Mark Driscoll. Great book. You want to talk about upfront, in your face. It's a great book. Going All the Way. It's the title of a book Craig Rochelle wrote. It's a great book. Sexperiment is a book that Ed Young wrote. It's a great book. Tommy Nelson, if you've ever heard of Tommy Nelson, does a series called Song of Solomon on the book of Song of Solomon. Great resources. YouTube them, listen to all the clips, all that stuff. Jimmy Evans, who is the president and CEO of Marriage Today, does some great stuff on teaching. And some videos that I would encourage you to watch, Fireproof, Courageous. There's also a blog out for women, and I don't know how I found this, but I did. It's called TrinityGal.com. She does some great stuff on for women. She's actually single still, and she's 30 years old. She does some great stuff. So those are some resources that I would encourage you to follow through all of that. Is that bar stool over there? All right, let me see that bar stool. Anybody know what this is? It's heavy. Anybody know what that is? That's a semen tank right there. A semen tank. You guys, if you've ever had anything artificially inseminated, then you've probably seen one of these, or your vet for sure has seen one of these. I actually borrowed this one from Doc Andrews, so I want to give a plug out to her. But if you go to get semen, this is what you're going to find that they store it in, right? There's actually nitrogen oxide, is that right? Nitrous oxide? I don't know, I'm not a vet. I'm probably going to, liquid nitrogen, that's what it is. And any here, if you, let's say again, you were to want to artificially inseminate a horse or a cattle or, you know, dog or whatever, you would use this container to store the semen. And it's got these little dills in here, I can't get out, that you would pull up and you would find straws of semen inside of this container. Now, here's the thing. I had one of my mares artificially inseminated. Works great. But here's the thing. I want to show you a few things about artificial insemination. First of all, it's a technique, right, of impregnating an animal artificially, right? It's not the natural way. It's the artificial way. You buy frozen semen. You thaw it out. You have your vet apply it, place it in the right place, the correct place for a cow or a mare to be for conception, right? So that's the idea of an AI. Now, here's the positives about AI. And I have a real smart cousin. He's actually a surgeon at Oak Ridge Equine. And I called him and I said, I want you to tell me the pros and the cons of artificially inseminating. Here's some of the pros. If you want to artificially inseminate, here's some of the positives. Some of the positives are it's convenient. I mean, I can go and I can find the best bull semen that I can get. I can pay for it and I can have it, you know, have it artificially inseminated into my cows and I can have some of the best bull, you know, genetics out there. It's available. It's convenient. I don't have to take my mare to a stall and you know, to a ranch and actually board her at that ranch or do any of that. They can ship the semen to my vet and my vet can take care of it. So there's some advantages there. It's available, it's convenient, and you don't have to risk maybe something getting, hurt like a cow from, you know, the bull or the, you know, stud, you know, getting hurt that's really worth a whole lot of money. So there's some of the advantages. Some of the drawbacks is the cost, right? I mean, you got to pay a vet. I mean, my buddy, my cousin who's a vet, I mean, he's amazing. And he gets paid a lot of money to do what he does. Secondly, here's the other disadvantage. It costs a lot, but here's the other disadvantage. There is a possibility for human error. I want you to think about that. There's a possibility for human error. I have a buddy who artificially inseminated. He went to school. He learned how to artificially inseminate and preg check all his cows. Well, he came back. He tried to artificially inseminate all of his cows, and he didn't have a high percentage rate because he didn't do a very good job. Right? So there's always this possibility of human error, right? In artificially insemination. Now you have the opposite. You got artificially insemination, and then you have natural breeding or pasture breeding, right? That's where you throw a stud out with a bunch of mares and they naturally breed. Again, there are advantages in my mind to that. I don't have to pay the vet to do anything. I don't have to buy any kind of semen. Again, this method has proven itself over the years to be natural, safe, and effective. I like that way. But can I just be honest with you? In a world of cattle industry and horse industry, I believe the AI is the way to go. I really do. I mean, it just makes sense because I can get some of the best breeding out there. And if you have a surgeon friend like my cousin, he's going to get it right. And so that's just a word of for all the cattle guys or whatever, the horse guys. Here's the point, though. And when it comes to applying that to our lives, and again, there's a lot of holes in that illustration, but I'm trying to point out some of the things that I think apply. Here's the thing. All sex, listen, outside of marriage is artificial. All sex outside of marriage is artificial. I just made that word too many syllables. All sex outside of marriage is artificial. It may be convenient, like AI, it may be available, like AI, but it's artificial. And here's the truth about sex outside of marriage. It will cost you a lot. It'll cost you a lot. You know, when they define artificial, you know what the meaning of artificial is? Made by humans. It's not natural. It's an imitation of something that is truly natural. And here's the thing. In today's society, a lot of people are having artificial sex. Sex that the world says is good, and sex that the world says is right, and sex that the world says is safe. I mean, you can get on the TV and you can watch whatever you want. You think Netflix is you know, the way to go? It's not. You can watch whatever you want. It's right at your fingertips. You can watch movies. You can get on the internet. You can get on social media. Kids at school, some teachers, some professors are selling this idea, and they're pushing sex, sex, sex. Now, here's the thing. I read a story the other day about a pastor. And by the way, pastors have sex, too. I already said that. Sorry. Yeah, he had a bachelor's party for him. He was getting married, right? And he got a gift from all his buddies at his bachelor party. And at the bachelor party, they gave him a pair of boxers. And on the boxers, in the, you know, with the lights on, it said, no, 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 all over the boxers. But as soon as you turn the lights off, glow-in-the-dark, you know, words show up and it says, yes, 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 yes. I don't know about you, but that's stinking hilarious. He told the story and he said, but my wife didn't think it was too hilarious on our honeymoon when he wore those boxers. Whoa, hey, sorry. But here's the thing. I believe that the world has the lights off, and they're saying, yes, 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 yes. And here's what they're saying. Have it as many times as you want. Have it with as many people as you want. Have it with boys if you want. Have it with girls if you want. It's your choice. If you have a baby, we can take care of the baby too. We've got places to do that. So the world is saying, yes, 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 yes. But here's the sad part. The church is not saying anything. I want you to hear that. In many of the Christian culture, in much of the Christian culture, the world has almost nothing to say. Many Christian parents have stood silent. They've stood silent. They've not told their kids. Every time I have premarital counseling with kids that are getting married, not kids, but even young adults, I always ask them, how did you learn about sex? And a lot of them, I mean, I've had guys say everything. I learned about it in the bathroom stall at the Loves. I learned about it. My father, I had a guy tell me one time, his father put a porn video in and said, son, this is how it works. Listen, you know, it's so amazing to me that the church is so scared to talk about something that God talks about a lot in the Bible. And the church, if they say anything, you know what it is? No, 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 no. No necking, no truth or dare, no spin the bottle, no co-ed swimming. I mean, that's all the church wants to talk about. I played truth or dare in junior high one time. And I was dating this girl named Stephanie Smith. She was tall. I was short. She was taller than me. I remember, yeah, never mind. I remember looking. But we played truth or dare one time, and they dared me to kiss Stephanie. And guess what I did? I ran. I was a prude, and I was scared. And that was like, you know, when I was a senior in high school. No, I'm just kidding. That was like in fifth grade or sixth grade. But here's the thing. The church ought not be scared to talk about something that is sacred and something that is a gift from God. Again, here's what happens when we don't talk about it as Christian parents or as a church. Here's what happens. When people get married, they are scared to death to talk about the word that we don't speak of, which is sex. And then they go into marriage, they go into it going, oh no, sex. And then they have to unlearn the no, 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 no. And they have to try to think happy thoughts about sex. Do you see what's happening? I mean, what the crap's that all about? I don't understand that. I want my daughter to look forward to having sex with her husband someday. I want her to see it in a positive light, not a gross light. I want my sons to long for that and to, you know, wait for that because they think it's going to be awesome. I mean, yeah, I look forward to my wedding night. Heather and I got married. I was 28. She was, can you talk into the mic so they can hear you? Is that thing on? Olivia's? There you go. Try it
no.
now.
I was 22.
22 years old. We got married as virgins. I know that word's not very popular today, but I'm proud to say that. And you look at me and you go, I understand why you didn't have sex, but what about her? But here's the truth. We don't say that to gloat. We don't say that to say we're better than anybody. We're here to say that that's what God can do. He can do that for you. He can do that for your kids. He can do that for your grandkids. It's a blessing, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I don't understand why the church don't speak about it, and at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, guess what? We are changing the culture of the church. We will speak about sex, we will share God's truth on the subject, and we will not apologize to anyone for doing so. But I want you to hear this. We will not talk about it with pride. We will not talk about it with, you know, boast. We will not talk about it with anything but humility and in grace, because we understand that the world that we live in has been misguided, and we are called to guide them back to truth through love, forgiveness, and mercy, not Bible thumping, you know, condemning to hell type of teaching. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, again, some people want to say, well, you're just condemning us all to hell. No, we're not doing any of that. Listen, one of the things that the world has right about sex is it feels good. It does. They got that right. But the truth is, for the person that's having sex outside of marriage, it feels good for a little bit. And then some stuff comes around, and the shame and the regret and all that other stuff comes around. It feels good emotionally as well. But then later on, you want to, again, regret and all that stuff. That's artificial sex. And so today we're going to kind of talk about, I have great news. The Lord is going to hopefully reveal to you a better way for sex, dating, and marriage. And we are looking forward to sharing that today. Yeah, I'll get rid of that so you don't dump it.
Yeah. I would knock it off. I know. I'm positive. Okay, well, there's a couple things I don't do that Bo does, and that's walk around. And there's two reasons for that. One, I would trip and fall. And two, I would get up there and I would forget what I was supposed to say next. So I have to stick closer to my notes than he does. And I have my people in place that are going to smile at me if I can see you through the light, right? So that I can, you know, some of y'all look like you're half asleep up there. And so we need some encouragement down here, some laughing, some
That's right.
Smiles,
if my wife tells a joke, you got to laugh at it. Not like right. with me. You got to laugh at her. I'm going to come get you.
Right. Okay, so today we want to point out why sex outside of marriage is artificial. And then next week we're going to show you God's perfect plan, the better way for sex and how he intended it. So we're going to start off with 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 7. It says, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, and we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So verse 3 tells us right there that we're to be holy and to avoid sexual sin. And before we get too far, I want to point out that sexual sin isn't just intercourse. It's not just the act of sex. But it's a lot of things that lead up to that. And so when you teach this to your children, make sure that they are aware that it's not just the act of sex, because doing the things that lead up to that can also have a lot of consequences as well. But I believe that what we're going to talk about today will hopefully help us to avoid sexual sin. And like Bo said, our goal isn't to condemn those of us who have already fallen in this area, who have fallen short, but to hopefully equip us from this day forward to live our lives and to partake in God's perfect plan to shed the light on the truth. And I think the reason that so many of us fall into sexual sin is because we believe the world's lies. We believe that you can do whatever you want and it's going to be fine. I believe that we do, you know, have sexual sin and fall in that area because our parents don't teach us the truth. And we just simply don't know God's truth. So today we're going to talk about two misconceptions that going all the way before marriage leads to. So the first misconception is this. If you're taking notes, there's two that we're going to talk about today. The first one is we can have sex outside of marriage because it's our life and we're the only one that it affects. And this just simply isn't true. The first reason that this isn't true is because we're violating someone else's future spouse. So if you think about it, in the future, you're violating someone else's future spouse. So if you don't end up marrying that person, then you're violating someone else's husband or wife, and you're devaluing your future spouse. So in other words, if I go and I have sex with someone outside of marriage, that man is going to be married to someone else someday, and I've violated him, and I've devalued my husband. Verse 6 says that never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. So we need to keep in mind that that's someone else's husband or wife. And we're devaluing our future spouse by going all the way before marriage. We're basically saying that they're not valuable enough to us to wait for. We're becoming one with someone. You know, the Bible talks about the two flesh shall become one. And that is when we have sex with someone, we're becoming one flesh with them. And when this happens outside of marriage, you're forming a bond that you were never meant to form. And so when that bond is broken, when y'all break up or whatever, you're leaving many scars on both sides of that. One girl that that I've read about, we did a lot of reading this week, and she said that even though God had forgiven her, which praise God for his forgiveness and he can wipe that away and make you new, she knew that she was a born-again virgin and that he had forgiven her of that sexual sin, but she knew that she could never change the past, and that story was going to have to be told to her future spouse, to her future children, and so it never goes away. The consequences are always still there. So sex outside of marriage doesn't just affect us, but it's something we're going to have to, again, share with our future family. The second reason that this isn't true is that as believers, sex outside of marriage affects our relationship with Christ. And this is true with any sin. Bo always says that sin always separates, and that's so true. When you're living in sin, there's like a wall between you and God. Not that you lose your salvation or anything like that, but it makes that relationship awkward. It makes it just hard to hear from the Lord and to have his blessing on your life because he doesn't bless sin. And so it's like walking around kind of like with a dark cloud over your head. And so just know that sin always separates. And if you're living in sin and you're, having sex with someone outside of marriage, that fellowship is broken. And you might wonder, why isn't God, talking to me? Why isn't he answering this prayer that I'm praying for someone or whatever? And it's because he can't look at sin. And the third reason is that even if this misconception weren't true, and even if you were the only one that sex outside of marriage affected, that would be reason enough to flee from it and to avoid it. The consequences, there might be physical consequences such as an unborn child or disease or whatever, but there's also emotional consequences, and those sometimes can be just as bad, if not worse. And there's some consequences that I've had some friends tell me that sex outside of marriage that they dealt with. And I know, like Beau said, when we were married, we were virgins. But I know that, in the past, I messed up and didn't do everything right. And I experienced a lot of these as well. Because, again, sexual sin isn't just sex. But a lot of the consequences that you face is you face shame, regret, insecurity. I know that that's true for a lot of girls. Loneliness, and I know for guys, the thoughts, you have those mental pictures that are always there. Low self-esteem, the dread of telling your future spouse, like we just talked about, and again, feeling separated from God, and that's just to name a few. And if we keep in mind that God created sex, and he created it to be between a husband and a wife, and he did that for a reason, because he knew the heartache that it can cause for that to happen outside of marriage. And so just know that his plan is always perfect. So the first misconception is that we're not the only ones that sex outside of marriage affects.
Yeah, and number two is this. You ready? Write this down. Number two, the second misconception is this. God is okay with going all the way outside of marriage. I think our world has convinced a lot of people that God's okay with it. I mean, he's okay with it. He's cool with it. He's not going to do anything about it. I mean, he's not going to, you know, punish you or anything. Can I just reveal to you another verse that we just read in verse 6? And again, don't take this to, you know, condemning, but just listen to it. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord, what?
Avenges."
Say it, everybody.
Avenges
all such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. Now you say, well, that's not very positive. Well, sometimes things aren't very positive. You know what? The Bible teaches, and it's through that verse right there, that the Bible teaches us that God doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't go ahead. It's okay. I understand. He doesn't do it with me, and he doesn't do it with you. The Bible says that he will avenge all such sins. And you say, well, what's that word avenge means? It means that he's going to punish. He's going to punish you. And you say, well, what's he going to do to me? I don't know what he'll do to you. I know what he does to me sometimes. He punishes me. And again, it'll be different for other people. But here's the thing. You are going to face consequences for disobeying the word of God. Again, a lot of preachers are scared to say that because nobody's going to come back to their church. Listen, I am here to warn you so you don't have to be punished. I think that's a good thing. Please tell me what's wrong so that I don't do it and I'm not punished. I want to know. Please tell me that. And so again, God is not okay. And I hear, I deal with a lot of, again, marriages and premarital counseling, and I hear a lot of excuses for people that say, well, we're, you know, here's an excuse. We're in love. I mean, we can have sex. I mean, I love him. I mean, I love her. I mean, I love them, so therefore it's okay for us to have sex. Well, it's just not true. I mean, again, if that's true, then here's the thing. The Bible teaches us that we are to wait patiently. It says love is patient. And if I truly love my spouse, then I will desire to wait. If I truly love her, I'm not going to cause her to fall into sin outside of marriage. Do you see the difference? I mean, they think, well, love just covers everything. No, love doesn't cover everything. Love is not a good enough excuse to have sex outside of marriage. We're engaged. I've heard that one. I've had people tell me that one. We're engaged. I mean, we're going to already, you know, do this thing when we get married, so why not just do it now? You know, again, in God's eyes, you're not married. And the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. It says the marriage bed should be kept pure. That means before you're married and during you're married, when you're married. You see what I'm saying? And so again, for us to say, hey, I'm engaged, it's okay. I know a lot of people that are engaged and then they break up after the engagement. I mean, again, we have to make sure, here's another excuse. We have to make sure that we're compatible. I knew I was compatible with my wife and I never had sex with her. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm telling you, I was attracted to my wife. Again, some people say, well, I got to test drive this thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to take this thing for a test drive. You know, it's just not true. You know what comes after the test drive? Regret. You know what comes after the test drive? Comparison. You know what comes after? Shame. I mean, all those are byproducts of the things that we come up with as excuses for God being okay with it. And it's just not true. The devil wants to rob us of God's best. And many people are settling for seconds rather than giving God our best so that we can experience his best. And so God is never okay with it. Just like artificial insemination is a human technique, it's not natural. Sex outside of marriage is what the culture is teaching us, and they're saying that it's okay. Listen, the culture is coming up with things through human teaching. God, the creator of sex, has a better way. When you neglect God's way and you do it the human way, listen to what verse 8 says. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And so can I just tell you, I'm not teaching this. God teaches this. I'm not, the preacher's not teaching this. The world's not teaching this. The parents aren't teaching this. This is God's teaching. It's not my teaching. And again, so you can say, well, Bo, I'm just not going to do that. That's just the way I am. You're rejecting God's way, and he will avenge that. And so you need to be aware of that. But here's the thing. That's the negative part of it, right? That's the artificial part of it. And we want to expose that lie so that we can show you the truth. The question that I have in closing is this. So what should our response be to God's teaching on this idea of artificial sex? What should our response be? And here's the great thing about it. Our response ought to be two things. If you have had sex outside of marriage, you need to repent. And you say, what's that word mean? I mean, that's a big Christian word. What's that mean? If you've had sex outside of marriage, you need to repent. You know, I use this illustration all the time, and some of you guys have seen me do this. It's like riding your horse, and you ride your horse to a stop, and then you perform what they call a rollback. And you roll your horse back through the tracks that you just rode on. You see it? It's called a rollback. Repentance is the same way. I'm running toward the sin, and I'm involved in the sin. I slide to a stop. I turn from my sin, and I turn to God. And I say, God, I need your forgiveness. I confess my sin, and I know that you can forgive me. And guess what? He does. You say, I've done too much. You've not done too much. You've not gone too far. He can forgive you. And so the first response ought to be, God, forgive me. You say, well, we're married now. I mean, what do I do with all the stuff that I did before we were married? Ask for forgiveness. Start on a new foundation. I'm telling you, when you do that, God will lift you up. He will honor your marriage. He will start showing you things. You will have a more blessed marriage when you get rid of the sin that you maybe built your relationship on. And so the first response is you need to repent. The second response is this. You need to commit to obey God's way. There was a story in the Bible, a woman who was caught in adultery. These Pharisaic jerks, religious people, brought this girl to Jesus and they threw her at his feet. And they said, hey, Moses tells us to stone this girl because she's committed adultery. What do you say, Jesus? You know what Jesus said? He got down on one knee or whatever and he wrote in the dirt. To this day, we don't know what he wrote. They don't say what he wrote. But here's the thing. Those Pharisees, those religious jerks started walking away and they started backing up. Jesus looks at the woman who committed adultery and he says, hey, where are all your accusers? They're all gone. And then he looks at the woman and he says, hey, guess what? I don't accuse you either. I'm not going to condemn you, but here's what I want you to do. This is what he says to her. Go and sin no more. You know what he's saying? I can wipe away your sin, but I desire for you to obey from now on. It's the same thing that he can say to you, same thing that he can say to me. And so again, if you've fallen into this trap that this artificial sex is okay and this artificial sex is, you know, the way to go and it's awesome, listen, you can be forgiven. It's a great thing. You can move forward. And so again, we're not here to show your pastor to, you know, expose everything to, you know, that you've done. No, you do that with the Lord. You expose it. You say, I confess. I give up. I want your forgiveness. And then he will wipe it away. And then we can move forward. That's what God desires. And so what is your response today? Is your response, Lord, I'm ready to confess whatever I've done wrong. I want to get it out of my, you know, out of my heart, out of my mind. I want to get it and I want to move forward and I want to obey you. That's what God desires for you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, that God gives all of us, not just Christians, not just the church, but that God gives all of us is this: forgiveness. Heather and I weren't perfect. I mean, we did things, again, that we probably shouldn't have done, and we had to ask for forgiveness of them. We still do things that we shouldn't do. We talk in ways. We say things. We do things that we shouldn't do. And the great thing about our God and our Savior is that He forgives us. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, crap, I've done all this wrong. You have written out my life. You've written it out on paper. I mean, you just exposed everything I've ever done. Listen, God can forgive you. He can wipe it away. You may be in a relationship right now that is artificial. Listen, He can free you of that relationship, and He can give you a bright future if you will repent and you will choose to commit to His way. And you say, Bo, I want to know His way. Well, listen, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, next week we're going to talk about God's way. We're going to talk about the benefits of not going all the way sexually. And you say, well, this doesn't pertain to me. I'm married, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if you have kids, they need to know this. It's your obligation as a parent to teach them this, not bring them to the preacher and say, preacher, teach them this. No, you teach them this. You be the godly parent that God wants you to be. Maybe you're single and you're thinking, I don't even have sex. I don't even know why I'm here. Listen, maybe you need to prepare so that you're ready to have that relationship and that marriage. And so I encourage you to come back. You say, well, I don't like talking about marriage. I'm alone. I'm lonely. Listen, now's the best time to prepare so you don't make the same mistakes that everybody else is making before you get married. And so eat it up. I mean, come, listen, take it in, so that you can be ready to date, so that you can be ready to be married. And so here's what we're going to do. If you have questions, if you need to talk to someone, please find me. Please find Heather. Please find us. Fill out a card. Put your question down on a card, and we will contact you. If you don't want to fill out a card or don't have a card, just text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you. You don't have to write your whole life story in the text. Just text your name, and we will contact you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. Again, if you want to know Christ, if you want to know forgiveness, we can show you Him. Lord, I come to you right now. I thank you that there is hope even in the midst of our sin. There is hope even if we've messed up. There is hope even if we've done it wrong. There is hope for all of us. No one is too far gone. No one has too bad of a past. We can all be forgiven. And so I praise you for that. And Lord, though we have exposed artificial sex today, I pray that people would walk out of here going, I'm not going to live by the culture's standard. I'm going to choose God's way. Thank you, Lord, for sex. Thank you for relationships, and thank you for marriage. And may we teach it and teach your truth to honor you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, ThousandHillsRanchChurch@yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.